This is Triple M's Tour of Duty in the Pacific. On Townsville's 102.3 Triple M.
They went with songs to the battle. They were young. Straight of limb, true of eye, steady and aglow. They were staunch to the end against odds uncounted. They fell with their faces to the foe. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
This is Triple M's Tour of Duty in the Pacific. On Townsville's 102.3 Triple M.
Hey, it's CK here from Triple M, and we've taken a little road trip for Anzac Day 2024. We've joined 3rd Brigade in a trip north to Wewak in northern Papua New Guinea. Let's find out a little bit about where we're calling home this week.
G'day, Major Tom Foley. So welcome to Wewak. Wewak's a small town in northern Papua New Guinea in East Sipik province. It's home to the 2nd Battalion, the Royal Pacific Island Regiment. They're based out at Moen Barracks, just outside of town. There's a small population here, there's an airport, and that's really about it. It's strategic because there was a lot of fighting here during World War II, and as you can sort of see as we're driving around, it's got that tropical sort of beach paradise feel to it with lovely sandy beaches.
Reminds me straight away, I look at the place, the proximity of the rainforest to the beach, Cardwell comes to mind. I'm not sure when the last time you did a little drive up to Cairns.
Cardwell, Mission Beach.
How do you feel as a current serving digger to be in a place like Wewak?
I think it's an amazing experience to be here in Wewak. Just in here alone, Japanese headquarter tunnels, an Australian one at Victoria Cross on the slopes of the hills just to our front here. So there's some amazing history here, and it's great to be part of that story. And that legacy as we move forward and remember and commemorate our past.
We're cruising down a road, two cars wide, bitumen, potholes everywhere. This area is interesting too, and this is probably the juicy stuff our listeners will love to hear. Earthquakes, quite susceptible to earthquakes.
Very susceptible to earthquakes. So we're in the Ring of Fire in the Pacific. There was a 6 point something one the other day. That's caused a lot of issues for the local population up in the Sipik River Valley. So the currently 2RPIR, the infantry battalion here out of WEWAC, are supporting the locals in distribution of stores, supplies, humanitarian assistance and that sort of stuff. And WEWAC is that sort of hub where all the supplies come in and then pushed out of. So you'll see there'll be some helicopters kicking around, there'll be some soldiers moving supplies and that sort of stuff. And that's been happening for the last few weeks now.
Also renowned for their, is it Puk Puk? Is that how I say it?
Yeah, Puk Puk. Crocodiles are pretty common up here, pretty tasty, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to try some in the next few days.
Stay with us for our Anzac Day Tour of Duty special with 3rd Brigade. Major Tom joins us and talks about being away from his family who are currently home in Idalia on such an important day for him and his fellow soldiers.
On Townsville's 102.3 Triple M.
It's Anzac Day 2024 and you're thousands of kilometres away from your family, from your kids. But that duty to serve runs deep. I'm catching up with Major Tom. He's welcomed us to WEWAC, our first day here in PNG, ahead of Anzac Day 2024, to find out what it's like with his wife and child all the way back in Idalia in Townsville.
Yeah, it's tough being away. It's tougher this year for me because I've got a brand new son at home, got a nearly 18-month son. And it's probably the first time I've spent a long time away from him. Seeing the changes that he goes through, obviously we're quite fortunate nowadays. She can send me videos and we can talk on FaceTime and that sort of stuff. And that makes that a little bit harder. I can see all the changes he goes through. But hey, with the boys, having a good time, doing some good things out in PNG. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else basically right now. It's kind of great.
And Anzac Day, that's an important one. You know, thinking of the past, of the people that, kind of trailblazed to where you are today. Is it a day of celebration, reflection, both? How does Anzac Day look for you?
It's probably a day of both. It's a day of commemoration. You think about the Australians that have come before us and done some pretty important things, especially here in Papua New Guinea. Hopefully you guys get a chance to go to Bamana War Cemetery on the way out of country. I'd recommend it if you can. See 3,000 Australians that gave their lives during World War II that sort of lie there. It's pretty special. And it's great to be part of that story and that legacy, right? No better place to be in the PNG to do it. Probably say a shout out to my wife Jenny, my son Jack. Thinking of you, missing you, and can't wait to be home in a few weeks' time. It's going to be great.
What's the first meal when you get back to Townsville?
We're probably going to get Indian takeaway. That's usually the tradition when I come home.
Bit of masala?
100%.
On Townsville's 102.3 Triple M.
We're at Cape Wom, and this is where the Japanese formally surrendered all their forces at the end of the war to the Australian general, Robbie Robertson. The war sort of finished around WEWAC, and where we'll do our dawn service is some of the very last fighting. And then the Japanese surrendered mid-August. They did that in Tokyo Bay after the atomic bombs. Then around the world, components of the Japanese armed forces then surrendered to the local commanders. So the Japanese army that was in the Papua New Guinea sort of region came here. They used this point because they flew him in and he landed here. And I think it's about, to put it in context, the Japanese army in this area, in New Guinea, had about 120,000 casualties. Wow. Over the war. He surrenders, hands his sword over, they put him back in the plane, he flies away. And that's effectively the formal end of the war. In this part of the world, imagine the hardships of the people of Papua New Guinea and the people of WEWAC that have been under Japanese occupation. It wasn't a particularly nice occupation, and that suffering, having to live in those conditions, was a terrible thing. But this is such an amazing place to be, and what a privilege to be here on the lead up to Anzac Day. And I think also what a privilege to be here with the soldiers, the 1st Battalion that are here training soldiers of the PNGDF. No better place to be as a soldier than deployed in the region on Anzac Day.
On Townsville's 102.3 Triple M.
Yeah, my name is Travis Hocart and I'm from Perth.
We've found you here at the Port Moresby Airport and you've got a massive Kokoda crossing right across your chest. So we've kind of just grabbed you for a bit of a chat. Can you tell us what you're doing in Papua New Guinea?
Yeah, so we're over here with a group of 19 people, 19 trekkers, and we are heading over to Boona on the northern beaches to start with, and we're going to do 3 days of exploration on the northern beach battlefields, which are very important as part of the Kokoda campaign.
Why? Why have you decided to fly all this way and do something some people might say is crazy?
Yeah, it's a very challenging experience, but it's also a very emotional experience as well. And I think it really touches you once you immerse yourself in the history of the story of what happened up here with the Australians, Papuans and the Japanese as well. It brings you, it's a very humbling and an emotional experience. And I think just to honour what's gone ahead of us is very, very important. Yep. And to experience the actual hardships that the soldiers went through is it's actually quite sad sometimes as well.
Truly,
yeah.
And it's funny, you're not the first person to mention this today. A lot of people, obviously, we often reflect on our soldiers, but I feel the old saying "time heals wounds" because we're hearing a lot about now people kind of almost reflecting on how the Japanese may have felt as well too. Have you done the Kokoda before, the Kokoda Trail?
Yeah, I have. This is my 24th trek.
Righto. Okay, so walk in the park number 24 or what?
No, not at all. It doesn't get any easier actually. It doesn't get any easier. But this year I'm doing it a little bit differently. I've got a brand new hip.
Oh, congratulations, taking it for a test run.
So I think I must have worn it out over the previous trips, and so this year's my first one with the artificial hip. But you're right, yeah, it is not just from the Australian and Papuan experience, but the Japanese story is amazing as well. Yeah. It's an incredible amount of sacrifice on both sides. It's a wonderful experience, so you feel very proud of being an Australian once you've finished it.
I was going to say, there are parts along the trail that kind of like a highlights for you on 24?
Oh, absolutely. My my favourite place is Brigade Hill. So Brigade Hill was a battle that was fought between the 6th and 8th of September 1942. And at the moment, and up there, you know, there's only a little plaque that indicates where the battle took place, but over 101 Australians were killed up there, as well as we don't know how many Japanese were killed, but a huge number as well. And that particular battle was involving Australian soldiers running straight into rifle machine gun fire. It was an incredible sacrifice because we're actually outflanked over that in that period. So the sacrifice of the Australians at Brigade Hill is immense. And all there is on the lonely knoll is just a small plaque to tell us about the story. So we spend the night there and we run our own commemorative service at Brigade Hill as well.
Where do we find out more details if people want to get around this?
So my company, Kokoda Crossing, I'm based in WA, but we take trekkers from all over Australia. So kokodacrossing.com is my website. Feel free to get in contact with us, and I'll be happy to help anybody out.
On Townsville's 102.3 Triple M.
Thanks for joining us on this Triple M Townsville exclusive coming to you from WeWak in Papua New Guinea for Anzac Day 2024. We've got to say huge thanks to Brigadier Dave McCammon and the entire 3rd Brigade team for taking us here on this incredible journey.
This is Triple M's Tour of Duty.
Second Lieutenant Michael Bunda.
Michael, what's actually going on here? Paint a little bit of a picture for our listeners.
Yeah, so currently we're conducting foundational skills training with the Australian Defence Force MTT Alpha and Alpha Company Tuarapere, our 2nd Battalion. Basically just going over some conventional and urban training with our bilateral partners, the Australian Defence Force.
Mate, having a look here, you know, this is an old footy field. We've got another group of people probably about 100 metres away here. Yeah. Are they doing similar training
to you? So we've broken up into respective platoons and then conducting the same training that we're doing.
How are you finding that relationship with the Aussie soldiers?
Yeah, it's good. It's a good opportunity to learn from each other as well, building that operational cohesiveness and also friendship and mateship as well through it.
I love it. Obviously, you've got a whole bunch of eager lads here. You're kitted up. Can you explain to us a little bit about maybe your weapon?
Basically, the standard issued PNGD weapons are CQ Alpha, so which is like a Asian M4s, but this is an M4 carbine, so we pretty much rock with both of those. Yeah,
cool. Pretty much, yeah. What's a normal day look like being in the PNG Army? Like, how does your day start? Is it PT? Is it then lots of training? How long have you been in the game for?
Yeah, so I've been in the military now for 3 going 4 years, but pretty much, especially in the infantry battalion in the PNG Defence Force, our week is guided by what they call battalion routine order. So that pretty much dictates what day day we do PT, what day we do training. And also we have like, you know, operation cycles as well. So now getting ready for that with those ones. And so,
obviously Anzac Day tomorrow. How does that kind of come into your world? It must be, you know, quite exciting. Obviously WEWAC's got such a huge history when it comes to military. Where does that land with you?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's important, especially now more than ever with more Australian friends here. We tend to, you know, offline conversations about, you know, history and stuff like that. So the boys are learning a lot about the Australian involvement in previous World Wars here in PNG. We also got a few of the lads taking part in the training that will be doing the Anzac Day's ceremonies tomorrow. So,
and why did you decide to join?
Oh, it was service to the country, I guess, and yeah, a good opportunity to travel and learn new things and meet new people. So,
cool. Have you been to Townsville yet?
No, yeah, just got Canberra.
Nice one. Well, mate, forget Canberra. We're going to have to get you to Townsville, all right?
Yeah. Awesome. That's good.
Hey, my name's Corporal Bagley.
We got the chance to have a quick chat last night, mate. What's transpiring here today?
Sweet. So today we're just with 2RPIR conducting platoon level training, going from ambushes all the way to patrolling, and now we're conducting platoon level assaults.
Mate, this backdrop here, incredible. Thick green jungle, the grass that the troops are working through, extremely high. It must be so cool to be up here in the thick of it.
It's it's quite a hard terrain to fight in, but it's good learning on our level and them. We've definitely been sharing some skills that we know, but we've been learning a lot more from them.
How have you found your time up here in PNG?
It's good. This is my first time to PNG. I've been to a lot of other countries, but it's not as hot as Townsville, but it gets hot some days.
I can imagine. So what's your goal personally, you know, being up here? What are you hoping to take away from this?
I've trained with a lot of other countries before, but this time with the PNG forces that are so close to us and we've worked in before, we're mainly learning off them our jungle survival tactics and things like that, which we definitely will be employing in the future, whether it's in a war or training.
For those soldiers at home that maybe about to get posted up here or, you know, maybe want to, what's your takeaway? What advice can you pass forward to those people?
Just embrace it. I mean, you get to go to other countries for free. You get to train with a lot of other people. You'd never get to do in a civvy job, so I highly recommend the army. A little bit of full-time stuff at the start, but you'll get used to it.
On Townsville's 102.3 Triple M.
We found ourselves in Dagwa, about an hour and a half drive out of WEWAC, and I thought WEWAC was in the middle of the jungle. Wow, the roads have just been potholes, roads, if I can even call it that, as we make our way through coconut trees and deep jungle, through rivers. This site is of significance for World War II. We're currently standing on a former Japanese airstrip. At the moment, kids' school ground is a mission, parish office. Again, I'm using these words very loosely. Tin sheds, woven huts, soccer fields with goals made of bamboo, just lining this incredible beachfront full of dark volcanic ash. The ocean is crystal clear. If this was anywhere else in the world, there would be multi-million dollar resorts and people swimming in the ocean, but where we are is just so remote. I cannot say how far we are from civilization, for lack of a better word, and the significance of this location as well too for Aussie troops is deep. Even all these years later, it plays such a significant part in World War II and ultimately the Australians winning the war. Brigadier, this place, very special, very remote. Talk to me a little bit about where we are.
So I think it's really interesting because where we are now is the original Japanese airstrip, and the original town was 2 km away from here, but after the war, because, and you see this a bit in PNG, that because the area was flattened, the village then came and moved on to what is now the original airstrip. So you see the mission is now in the middle of what was the Japanese airstrip. In terms of history, this is about March 1945. The 6th Division come to secure this or get rid of the Japanese off this area. The Japanese air operations have almost ceased or ceased by that stage, but there's Japanese defending this location. And what happens is, as the Australians advance, they actually withdraw from this flat area that we see around us, and they move into, as you can can see those huge hills, and they had bunkers and tunnel systems and complexes throughout those hills, and the 2nd and the 2nd 3rd Battalion of the 2nd AIF or the Australian Army then had to go up into those hills, and it's incredibly intense fighting as they clear the Japanese out of those trenches and tunnel systems there. And very close to where we are at the moment is where Lieutenant Chown, VC, was awarded his Victoria Cross for gallantry, as he was noted that the lead platoon of the attack was pinned down. He rushed forward and cleared some enemy positions. In that process, he was hit twice in the chest, but still continued forward. And that award was posthumous, as he was killed in that action.
In the skies above us, obviously some heroics occurred as well too, didn't it?
Yeah, and I think a lot of this campaign wouldn't have been as successful if it wasn't for the Royal Australian Air Force. And a lot of this campaign they did on effectively the smell of an oily rag. It was really, a lot of this campaign was a Royal Australian Air Force campaign, not an Allied campaign. And if you go further south into Ley and you go to the war cemetery there, there are two Victoria Crosses. There's Chown VC, who we just spoke about, and there's Newton VC, who flew an Air Force bomber. And near Ley, he was running effectively strafing runs, and his aircraft was hit, and he flew his plane off and ensured that he controlled that plane long enough for the rest of the crew to eject or get out of the plane, and then he eventually got out himself. He escaped for a period of time, but then was captured and killed in captivity by the Japanese. But he is the only Royal Australian Air Force Victoria Cross of the Southwest Pacific campaign. The rest were all awarded in Europe.
Obviously for yourself as well too, a lot of pride coming out of here. Your great uncle fought in this exact spot. You know, all your dignitaries aside, how do you feel just as a man standing here on this Japanese airstrip where, your blood fought and made such a difference towards the war?
Yeah, I think it's the story of many Australians have ancestors that served in both the 1st and 2nd AIF. He came from Wollongong, joined the 2nd Battalion, fought in North Africa, then came to the Pacific and fought with the 2nd in this campaign. This is the second time I've been here. And interestingly, the first time I had his history and I brought it with me. And as we were saying before, the town is on the airstrip, and I knew that he was awarded an MBE for his actions in and around the airstrip. And last time I was here and I said, "Where's the airstrip? I'd like to see it." And they said, "You're standing on it." And that was just an amazing moment to be where he had been, where he'd fought and stand there. It's hard to put words to the magnitude of this location, how close to the sea you are, yet how steep the mountains are and how thick the jungle is just off the airstrip. The fighting must have been incredibly intense.
Commander, you've obviously got a lot of soldiers that you're in charge of, and, we're on the eve of Anzac Day. We've come to PNG for this exact moment. It must all kind of tie together nicely, emotionally difficult, obviously, for a lot of families with their loved ones being away as well. How do you even summarise that? How does that all come together?
Yeah, I think it's a big day, Anzac Day. I think it's a big day for the nation. We talked earlier about service. I like to think that Anzac Day gives some purpose to the ADF, but also the nation, and people can take some of those values away and use them in their everyday life. But for me, some of the most rewarding things we've seen in the last 24 hours, the history's great, but these Australian soldiers that are here at the moment and away from loved ones, and you saw the amazing training that they're doing this morning, and they're just great coaches and such a positive display of Australia in this sort of remote part of the world.
On Townsville's 102.3 Triple M.
Rob, we've got one of the most iconic probably photos between Australian and Papua New Guinea relations. Even to this day, it's still such a strong piece of media. Can you explain to our listeners, you know, what's in front of us here?
So what you see is that iconic photo of George Whittington being escorted down the San Ananda track by Raphael Owen Barry. Now, this occurred on Christmas Day in 1942, and there's a little bit of a humorous sort of story behind it. Raphael's friend actually found George in the bush and realised that he needed some medical care, and he's brought him out of the scrub and got him onto the track with Raphael, and then he's gone off to try and get some more help. And in that interim period, George Silk is on the side of the track taking photos and captures George being escorted down and helped by Raphael, and thus framing what is one of our most iconic photos, short of Damien Parra's photos on the withdrawal on the Kokoda track. But his friend was a little bit cheesed off that all the accolades have gone to Raphael, and he's sort of been left on the sideline as the guy who actually found George in trouble and got him out of trouble in the first place.
It's an amazing photo, isn't it? Obviously, sparing the poem, the Fuzzy Wuzzy Angels as well, too. And moving forward, it still holds so much, you know, as a digger yourself, you know.
Yeah, I think you can't underestimate the value of relationships and, you know, the challenges that we faced in not just the Kokoda campaign, but all the campaigns up through PNG. The background to that was the support of a local population carrying ammunition and food and medical supplies over the Owen Stanley Ranges and then helping our wounded back. Those relationships is what has probably been a big factor in the enduring partnership between Australians and PNG. It's that common connection. We helped you, but you also helped us. So I think that photo is probably a very simplistic way to capture what is a very complex and enduring relationship that's been built on sacrifice on both sides of the table.
RSM Rob Munro, reflecting on one of the most powerful images from the Australian campaign in World War II, as we take Triple M on the road for our tour of duty with 3rd Brigade.
On Townsville's 102.3 Triple M.